Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, today has been an amazing experience. I so enjoyed talking with you about not only being an entrepreneur, the successes of an entrepreneur, but also about, you know, discussing that I really enjoy helping brands navigate the success of being on store shelves or just understanding what their channel strategy should be as they go forward in their own journey.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's mentor guest is client Ann Anderson. She is a very accomplished executive and founder of Retail Partner Solutions, LLC. In our first conversation, she talked about her life and passion for retail and how she built a career with Time Inc. magazine and came from a really strong foundational family that helped her learn about resiliency. And sports also has an instrumental part that plays. And I'm so glad that women have opportunities now to be in sports and engaging on a very professional level. I think it's really important for everybody in our world to build our self-esteem and learn from sports all the little skills that you can about building your life and winning and losing and how to handle yourself in situations and having goals and focus and that kind of thing. That was our first conversation. It was a big conversation. Our second conversation, we focused on getting your products into big box retailers. And you found out from Anne, she knows a lot, but also there's a lot to know about the process of each retailer and what to clarify about your brand. And today's conversation is a big one too. It's how to up-level product brands for retail. So Anne is taking the mystery out of why some brands make it on the shelves while others don't. Even if you aren't getting your products into big box retailers, it's really important to understand how products show up on the shelves and why there's such a big turnover in products. Hi, Anne.
Hi there, Nancy.
So is it every 2 minutes new products are hitting the shelves?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Every 2 minutes.
I mean, that's amazing to like even think about.
It is amazing to think about it. And it also is kind of, you know, that means a lot of products potentially fail or that they're making it on shelves of other retailers, but they're not making it on shelves of some retailers. So there's, you know, the success and the failure, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And to give you a little more background about Anne, she has an MBA and is a results-driven senior executive and retail strategist with more than 25 years of success spanning retail, consumer goods, and food and beverages. Leveraging extensive experience in strategic leadership for world-class brands and teams, Anne is a valuable asset for companies requiring retail go-to-market strategies, brand building, guidance, mentoring, and representation to launch brands at big box retailers. Anne founded Retail Partner Solutions, LLC in 2019. Later in the year, she was referred to me, and I've been working with her ever since to help her so she can further empower brands to thrive on store shelves, bridging the gap between brands and buyers. Entrepreneurs with new product brands need Anne's retail expertise, resources, and strategies that accelerate growth. As you heard in our second conversation, the process to get into retail stores can be 8 to 9 months. So the gestation period is a long one, and understanding the process will really help you empower and cash flow, you know, the whole entire process of getting your products on big box shelves. Anne has a proven record of succeeding across many categories, including launches of kids' snacks, home essentials, pet coffee, ethnic products and beverages in Target, Walmart, Costco, Home Goods, and other local and specialty retailers. And as you've been hearing in the last conversations, which I know that you've been tuning into, Anne radiates positive energy, focused mindset. She has a driven commitment and a passion for retail like no other. I've been working with her, and she brings this passion to every single conversation that we have. So thank you so much for taking the time, Anne, to be here.
Well, thanks, Nancy. I love speaking with you. This is fun. This is fun, and it's a great deep dive on how products really have to understand not only their business, but the retailer's business.
Yeah. And you went through a huge transition from being in corporate America with Time Inc., so Time Magazine and all their products for 31 years. And there is a lot to understand about what, you know, and losses along with that. One of the biggest challenges is adjusting how you're getting paid. So instead of getting every other week paychecks, you're having to build out, you know, a cash flow stream, doing different things with clients to bridge the gap between when people start working with you to when the product actually gets on the shelf. When entrepreneurs make money, they just feel really great. And when we're struggling with cash flow, it's hard to separate out our ego from how we're feeling about who we are. And it's a tricky little way of working with ourselves to separate what we produce to who we are. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey and what has worked for you when you get in that kind of a funk?
Yeah, it is definitely a journey, and building the revenue streams that produce that steady cash flow does take time. I mean, absolutely. And I think you have to be patient. You have to have an understanding with your own financial situation within your family, the support system financially that you have. Whether it's with your spouse or whoever, maybe. I mean, Howard's great, and he's encouraging for me to keep going and doing this. And I just have to have that positive attitude. But there are times definitely where you're trying to figure out what that cash flow looks like from either one project to the next or one product launch to the next. That as long as you just stick with that plan, then I know that success is going to come.
And it has been, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So incrementally, and it's unpredictable, but it does come together. It's just a different way of looking at your life and figuring it out. But you've had a lot of success with putting the plan together and then sticking to it.
Yeah. It really have to look at it. I mean, it's a lot different than getting that paycheck every 2 weeks. But I think, as you mentioned, on our previous conversation about really taking 3 years for all the kind of pieces to fall into place as you go forward in the entrepreneur world, that you just have to kind of stick with that plan and know that the success is there.
Yeah. And know your bottom lines too. You know,
correct.
How far am I going to go with this? Right. There's been pivotal points where you assess the decision making, and you've gone through all those pivotal points. And every time, that's also part of bridging the gap between, you know, for a long time, a person can leave the back door open. Well, I can always go back.
Right.
And it's important to be all in with your venture. So closing that door is really helpful to say, I'm done and I'm going to make this work. I'm all in and I know I can figure this out.
Yeah, I think I had early on between you and my husband, I think you kind of had given me the advice is you just can't have one foot in part way. So
yeah.
You do have to jump all in.
Yeah. And you have to jump all in through your own process, You know, we can see it. You know, I can give the advice, but it's a process that you have to go through. And so when you close the door, it doesn't matter. It's just important to close the door at some point.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So figuring that out for yourself, knowing when that is. But moving toward it is also knowing that that's what you're doing. You know, naming it. Yeah, this is what's happening and this is what I'm moving toward.
Right.
So what made you decide to register your business as a woman-owned business?
I received early on some great advice from an entrepreneur friend of mine who really had said being a certified woman business owner can be a game changer. And after I heard that, and then I was talking to a person at Target, you know, that person had encouraged me to be a certified women's business owner. And it does make a difference in our consumer packaged goods space of working with retailers and who they look at. You know, diversity and inclusion is so important. And the retailers look at brands that have that diversity supplier diversity certification. So I decided that it was something that I was going to look into. It does provide some good exposure to clients, to other women's owned business entrepreneurs, to even women business entrepreneurs who are looking to work with other women business owned entrepreneurs. Mm. You know, the organization itself, the Women's Owned Business National Council, you know, they have a lot of resources too, whether it's continuing education, access to financial services, webinars that you can attend for free on how to build your business. So it's really a great, not only certification, but also a resource or a tool in your toolbox.
What's involved in the process?
So the process really is about ensuring that all small business is actually owned, controlled, and operated by not only the applicant, but that applicant or me. You know, I have 51% ownership in my company that I have to apply.
At least.
A minimum of 51% ownership. You know, it's a little time consuming, the process itself. Because they ask for a lot of your business operation assets, your financial statements, whether it's your business, if your business isn't in business for 3 years, they'll ask for your personal. They want employee payroll documentation. They want all legal documentation on your business. The woman who actually gave me the advice to apply or put in my application, she basically said, take a piece at a time. You know, do one night, do another piece another night, and then it all starts coming together. Because I think that when you first sit down and you look at the list that's being asked of you from a requirement standpoint and what they want notarized, you really are like, oh, this is a little bit overwhelming. But honestly, once you start down and you break it down into the pieces, it's not. It's a great way to build your business and have that certification behind you.
Yeah. And in what ways are you planning to, this is kind of skipping to the next topic. In what ways are you planning to use social media to build your brand? And what do you suggest for other business owners?
You know, from a social media perspective, put your brand and make sure everything's consistent, right? Whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Twitter, and you build your brand as well as your own website. I can say I'm good about my own website. I've created that from a standpoint of other social pieces. You know, we're going towards that to build more media behind it. But from a client, which I'll kind of switch it, right? From a client perspective, it's so important that they build their social media and create that following system because retailers look for that. They look at how big their brand is, how many followers they have, what's the exposure to the brand. So,
does it matter which social media platform they're on?
You know, the retailer's looking at all of them. You know, how well have they built out Instagram? How well have they built out Facebook? How well have they built out Twitter? You know, do they have YouTube videos? The retailer's looking for, you know, what that brand awareness is from the public and the consumer.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. How are you doing pro bono work in building your brand? Because I encourage every business owner to have an element of time that they're spending to really do pro bono work.
Yeah, this is kind of the fun part when you do pro bono work and what you become involved in. For example, this week I'm speaking at a women's owned business cohort group that is sponsored by Walgreens, and I'll be presenting and discussing like the retailer pitch, looking at how do you navigate within a retailer, how do you pitch the retailer, how do you rock the meeting at a retailer. So that's actually one of the fun pieces of the business is pro bono work. The second piece I'm involved in today is I am a mentor for the MM Cup, which is the University of Minnesota, the Carlson School of Business. They do an annual pitch competition. And there's two brands that I'm mentoring, and it's a lot of fun to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it.
How much time do you spend networking, and how has that changed as your client workload has increased? Because you're networking differently now than how you started out.
Yeah, when I first started out, you know, similar to other people as they transition jobs, I mean, you're networking for a position or networking for a role. The difference today is, you know, I'm networking more about my business and I continue to network. So I always believe in paying it forward. I want to be able to help others, not only probably in their transition, but in their entrepreneur business. You know, if I hear positions open, fractional positions or positions where looking for somebody as a part-time, I look out for a lot of different networking people in my group. I think it's important, especially this community is so giving, that I continue to network not only with others, but other people that I've met. Met some great people networking. I've got a lot of new friends and a lot of different groups that I'm involved in.
Yeah.
But I think that's the piece that you do as an entrepreneur is you do continue to network about the business and looking for those clients that you want to bring in.
So on your Retail Partner Solutions website, you have many ways in which you're working with clients to get their products into the marketplace locally and nationally. Can you give an example of how you group the following services that you offer? So strategy. And part of this, I'm talking with this, and what does this relate to up-leveling product brands for retail is how Anne is working with people is how you can level up your brand. And so we're going to go into more specific questions regarding that. But right now, you to have a solid understanding of how Anne does this for herself and then how she works with clients. So you get an idea of the process and of how to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So specifically in strategy, I can actually give you like a case study. So I have a product that was only wholesale, never retail, but the infrastructure was in production and in place. And they really looked at my expertise and helped to refine kind of how does that retail strategy look. So if you have to potentially modify your processes or you have to be prepared for larger retailers, appropriately. I mean, you don't want to make mistakes that are going to cost time and money. So it's really, how do you look at that strategy, not only from a retailer standpoint, but I talked about earlier on our last session about from a channel. You know, not all products want to be able to look at, if you're a pet product, you're going to look at the pet channel. You're going to look at the specialty pet stores first, potentially. Then you're going to look at a Target or a Walmart or a Costco. You're going to build the brand because you're going to want that production and scale, but you really want to look at your strategy and how it falls into play with retailers.
And how do buyer relationships and connections, how do you build out that service with a client?
A lot of the clients that I work for don't have those retailers' relationships or connections. With my expertise and connections, I can help speed them up in that process. I have a database that is over 2,500 buyers from different retailers and different levels within the retailers that I can access who those buyers are that they may be looking for.
How do you help clients with their e-commerce process?
So most products today that are finished good are selling on their own website. And then they just naturally gravitate to Amazon. I mean, they want to be able to sell on Amazon as well as their own. But each retailer has their own e-commerce sites. So I take those sales efforts and make that happen within that retailer to sell on their site as another asset in their own selling capabilities on e-commerce to go forward.
And there's negotiation that happens with retailers once you make it through a process in which they want your product on their shelves. How does that work, and how do you work with clients to navigate that?
Yeah, negotiation is always a tricky one because it's really a balance between the retailer demands and the product's capacity. To meet that pricing expectation, the retailer promotion programs that they offer, the capacity, the different types of internal systems, electronic data interchanges, and money. How can money and payments talk to each other? So as you negotiate some of these areas, you're negotiating, you know, prior to even getting the product on shelf. But there's a lot of elements that go into it.
Yeah. And so it's really valuable to help you kind of, work with you to become clear on what you do and don't want to negotiate on.
Right.
In scaling a product, you offer a supply chain logistics service. Tell us about that.
So it's all about the capability to scale and the quantities and the timelines that are set forth by the retailer. So, for example, are you today, you know, selling out of your garage, or do you have a warehouse, a co-packer, a facility that actually can pick a packet for you and put it out? So you need to look at kind of what that whole supply chain logistics infrastructure looks at. Once then, you know, you are in that warehouse, you have that co-packer, you're able to ship it out, you achieve shelf positioning. Then it comes back to replenishment, you know, how fast you can produce that product to replenish the shelf when you're selling out.
And yeah, we noticed that. We noticed that in a huge way during COVID with toilet paper.
Yeah. And you're still seeing it to this day because of where, you know, the supply chain is continuing to have issues with transportation, not enough truckers or not enough workers, or the fact that there's, a lot of different manufacturing plants were on hold because of COVID. Now they've got to ramp back up and they've got to fulfill production. So there is a lot of that piece of it from a fulfillment standpoint of how fast you can fulfill, what's your lead times.
Mm. And the marketing and branding that you referred to earlier is another way in which you help clients package their products. And what else do you do to help them with getting the right branding for their product?
So when we approach a retailer, we look at a marketing sales sheet, and it's typically a one-pager. So it's really customized guidance and recommendations based on specific criteria that you want to include within your marketing materials, whether it's size, your quantities, your competition, your SKUs, what's your price points, and really looking at every product is truly unique because it depends on the parameters that the product will need to alter that retailer's expectations. So there might be one sales aid that we look at directly for the, let's say, Target, and there may be, we may tweak a little bit to look differently at Walmart, but it is something that's really telling your story of who you are and why you appeal to them as a retailer.
Yeah.
From a brand perspective.
Nice. And then the last service that you offer, I really like the way you've laid these out because it is definitely a different way in which you're working with them, but it gives you kind of the process also of and your last service is project management. So how do you work with people in managing their product?
So every entrepreneur product is at a different stage within their development. And I love being really involved at where the product client needs assistance. So it may be that they're at the point of they just finished their product, they're not sure where they're going to go with it, or they have a finished product, they're in regional chains within their market area, but now they want to level to a national chain level.
Yeah.
It may be that they want to look at e-commerce only. I have a client that only is looking at e-commerce. They're not ready to go to an in-store, physical in-store shelf. So it really is kind of depending on where they are in the finished process of their development that I help them and I encourage them of what the next steps are.
Yeah, nice. And based on the services that we just talked about, how do you work differently with entrepreneurs who are up-leveling or scaling their businesses? What's the process that they need to know?
It really depends. And I just had mentioned, you know, it depends on where the brand is in their stage of development.
Yeah.
And whether it's a channel or who the retailers are they're interested or what their online priorities are. I think it really kind of comes down to when you're an early startup, that I look at assisting them to lay the groundwork for that future success. You know, I've been on a startup board and worked with a startup out in the West Coast and offered them a lot of short-term consultation for specific questions as they've gone through the process of where to go. But then there's products I work with that are much further down the line, that are more developed, they have a coordinated infrastructure, they have internal teams, and they're really looking for me to represent their product and give insights on the retailer of what's needed for their teams to approach these larger retailers.
And there's been a shift in retailers. So how are retailers becoming like more inclusive in their product offering and vendors that they work with?
Retailers today are really looking for that product differentiator in their assortment. So they could be, this differentiator could be nutritional, where there's a lot more friendly products that are gluten-free, that are keto, that are paleo, or even clean ingredients. So
plant-based.
Plant-based, correct. If you have a lot of those ingredients within your product, it's really a great call out. Because the consumer today is looking for those pieces. They're also looking for sustainability. They're looking for the focus of, you know, is your product reduce, reuse, and recycle? Is the wrapper compostable? You know, is the cardboard recyclable that you package it in? So today's key attributes are what is really the product offering and what the retailer is looking for from a success point of view and how great your story is. More and more, you'll start to see too, if you look closely on a lot of packaging, is there's a lot of give back to the planet. So from a sustainability side, that is also a hot button within the retailers.
Well, and is that because the consumer's behavior is changing and they're, like, for example, with the food part, you know, the gluten-free, the keto, the paleo, the plant-based focus. Is it because the movement, the awareness of consumers with what they're eating and how the food that they're eating gets to the marketplace? Is their awareness changed and they're making different choices as a result of that? Or what do you think is going on?
There absolutely is awareness change. There's a lot more vocal awareness change where they want, you know, they want their coffee to come from a sustainable farm. They are looking at plant-based or clean ingredients or all natural ingredients or organic ingredients. I think a lot of it has to do with the younger generation. You know, the younger generation is looking for those products and they're very vocal about wanting those products in store. And the consumer, the retailer then is looking for that consumer to be purchasing in their store and they're looking for those products.
And what other trends are you seeing that's affecting big retail and how, you know, and based on consumer behavior?
A lot of the retailers today are focusing on certifications and supplier diversity certifications, whether you're a minority, whether you're a veteran, whether you're LGBTQ, whether you're disability, and women, you know, they are looking for those certifications. Those certifications play a role in the brands that consumers are looking for. Interestingly enough, if you look at Target.com, yeah, and you look at a, you can actually search women's owned business. You can search Asian business. You can search veterans business, and the product listing will come up as those product categories.
Wow. Okay, mm-hmm. That is different. That's new. Or how long has that been going on?
And it is new. It's probably within the last, now don't quote me, I think it's 3 to 4 months.
Oh, it's very, very new.
They've just started putting badges on product on products.
Oh, interesting. So it's good for people to know.
And a lot of products. I mean, they also have that certification stamp on their actual packaging.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where do you go, like, if you're a minority or a veteran, to get a certification? Is it all through the Small Business Administration?
No. There's actually, so there is a veteran-owned enterprises, which is www.naboba organization. There's also a disability organization that it's www.disabilityin.org. So there are definitely certifying organizations that these brands should go to. Look at the qualifications, look at the requirements, and sign up, because it does give you leverage within retailers.
Well, that's huge. Like, every business owner should know that. Yeah.
Yeah, I recommend it to all the different businesses if they apply that I work with, because it does open up a lot of retailer opportunities for them.
And so I just have a couple more questions to ask you. What should business owners avoid doing when it comes to expanding their brands?
I would say expanding too quickly. You know, it's really important, as we discussed, having that solid manufacturing and production operations in place in order to scale their business. You know, I mentioned it earlier, and I said, you know, are you shipping out of your garage, or do you actually have a facility you're working in? You know, are you manually working on paper or your own internal systems for purchases and invoices versus the what we call the EDI, or the electronic data exchange communication way of having purchase orders and invoices coming to you. So, I mean, you really have to look at what your business operations is today. And if you have multiple purchase orders coming in monthly, how are you able to handle that?
Yeah. So really planning ahead the infrastructure needs
ahead
to produce the product.
It's putting that whole strategy in place as and business plan. What does that future, you know, the 1 year, the 2 year, the 3 year, the 5 year business plan look like for your business?
Nice. Do you have that all worked out for your business?
I do. I do, with the help of you, Nancy.
Oh, good answer. So what are 3 to 5, you know, key strategies that can help business owners to level up and shape their brands with big box retailers?
You know, the first and foremost is have a brand story. You know, be precise in your messaging. Have a unique value proposition. I can't state this enough of how you need to have a differentiator. Why are you a differentiator in the market, and why those retailers need to buy you? Know your customers. I mean, it's important that you know who your customers are and who's your audience. And then really, it's showcasing that incremental benefit of adding your products to the retailer's assortment.
Mm, very good. Is there anything else we should be aware of before we close out our third and wonderful conversation today?
I think it's important, as, I mean, you look at going into big box, is it is a long game, and to be patient. Retailers have a lot on their plate today, and they get so many emails daily on brand pitches. So focusing on getting the right partners on your side, using the right resources, getting certified, knowing what your product represents and what your purpose is, who that customer is and what their needs are. And then also, you know, what are those other products in the market that you need to know why they're in and how you differentiate from them, from the current assortment. So no, as Retail Partner Solutions, you know, I love to help brands and understand their strategy and how we can focus on where their brand and brand strategies are that can align with the retailer.
Nice. You know, I've just been learning so much more about you. I think you've got so much expertise that is kind of unpacked slowly in your relationship with when you're working with a business owner that is so valuable and that you've acquired over a long career in the magazine industry and the exposure and juggling all those different projects at one time and working with success teams. And so you know how things can work, you know, and to develop a strong foundation for entrepreneurs to really build out their brands in a really successful way.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I mean, I love this new life of mine and this entrepreneur life. I mean, I'm curious to learn, you know, and to bring these products to market, to be discoverable, is something that does, I mean, bring joy to me every day. And working with you has been amazing.
Oh, my heart has just skipped a beat. Thank you. So sweet. If you'd like to reach Anne, you can reach her at Anne@retailpartnersolutions.com and check out her website as well. Thanks again for being here. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, Monfredo Notomer, brother from another mother. And thank you for tuning in. I hope you just, you know, immersed yourself in all the wonderful things that Anne is describing, because she's really invested when you work with her in your success. And so am I. So keep tuning in and keep growing, and we'll see you next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become effective as a business owner? Do you want to evolve yourself as you redesign your business? You can. We know that dual innovation with mentoring works. We've mentored thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and small business owners in this dual innovation process since 1992. We are here to co-create a mentoring process where you can nourish resilient relationships while you redesign your business. Resilient relationships promote relational literacy, the ability to understand and express healthy ways of relating. Even a slight increase in relational literacy can lead to significant improvement in all of your relationships. So why not take the risk to move out of dysfunctional relating and move into ways to deepen your connection to yourself and others? Assert self-leadership. If you aren't already subscribed to this podcast, go do it now. Go to wementor.com and get the support and skills needed to build a purposeful life journey with your peers on the entrepreneurial leadership path, consciously co-creating our future. You can also join our virtual mentoring community for one-on-one strategic mentoring or participate in a WeMentor lab, because we mentor meaningful conversations and activities that lead to higher levels of functionality and engagement in our world and everything that we do with each other. So engage your curiosity and become the leader you envision yourself to be today. WeMentor.com. Go there. Check it out.